but the in the sort of McClone field, technology field. But the thing about Meltzer, he was the first on the scene in 66, 67, in the exciting period, you know, with Jim Morrison and before. I mean, he talks about, doesn't he say he talks about being with Rod Stewart in the Faces, you know, and laughing about all the jerks?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he was the first guy in there with the, when they were first coming over. He got there first, and
right.
and then he burnt out. Which, yeah. And then Bangs and them come later. So he was the first.
No, it's true.
And the point, and then he went on and he writes music and probably got some little royalties with Blue Oyster Cult, you know.
Yeah. He actually wrote he wrote the lyrics to one of their hits. So.
Yeah, and Sandy Pearlman is the guy that he says betrayed him, right? He doesn't name him, but I'm assuming he's just Sandy Pearlman.
I think so. Yeah. Sandy Pearlman shows up in Aesthetics of Rock a few times, actually.
And is he put down?
No, I think he just sort of quotes him as like, and this would have even been before, like, this is before Sandy Pearlman, I think, even did anything.
No, they were colleagues in the colleague scene.
Like, he does that a few times in Aesthetics of Rock. He quotes, like colleagues of his or friends of his, and no one else in the world would know who they are, but he just almost quotes them like, and I think it makes sense the way he does it. He's kind of quoting them like, you know, in the way he would quote Plato or McLuhan or something. It's like, and Sandy Pearlman pointed out one evening, like, it's like,
well, if it was a good thought, he'd put it in.
Yeah, so which is great. I mean, it didn't matter who it was. He just, it worked. And so as a reader, you'd probably kind of get to know these people or be intrigued by who's this Sandy Pearlman guy? And then he ended up, you know, being this producer later and produced The Clash and all this stuff, so.
Right, so the punky, the chip on his shoulder kind of guy you see in that YouTube from 1984, that is the guy that Goldstein and Kryska, or that attitude is what they mean, and I can see what they would see. Oh, that guy's a jerk, you know, social asshole. You know what I mean? He had too much of a bit of a superiority complex or something.
Yep.
But
even by that time, though, by 84, I think he's even beyond, I mean, well, I guess he was still trying to do some stuff, maybe. Although I don't think he even had any affiliation with The Voice by that point.
Oh, no. That was ten years before.
Long after that, yeah. But, no, exactly. Like, he was just kind of... I mean, it was weird, though, when I interviewed him. Like, I did not get that sense at all. Like, even... I should send you some clips just, like, of his voice. Like, his voice totally surprised me. Like, it was not at all what I expected. I was actually prepared to be completely intimidated by the guy on the phone, and it was like, he was almost like sheepish sounding.
Right.
It was kind of weird. Like it was off-putting. Like I and he was like kind of asking me like, well, what, you know, what are you into and stuff. It was just,
yeah, he was a nice guy in a way.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. No, it was like a very sort of chummy sort of guy, and he was very.
That probably was. He's probably changed a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's 2000. I mean, by that point, you know.
But, like, I like L.A. almost better than New York, and he's the L.A. wing of punk criticism. That's good. I like his L.A. self in that 1984. It's a nice place. You can wear shorts. It's warm.
Yeah.
He's the L.A. guy.
He has a great book about L.A., actually.
He does a good book on L.A.?
Yeah, it's called L.A. is Not the Capital of Kansas, I think is the title. It's a really great book, actually, too. I mean, it's been a long time since I've read it. I think it came out definitely after the punk era, I think probably like mid-80s or so.
Well, you should...
It's pretty cool.
Right. Hey, Scott, should eventually call in the local weekly paper, ask them where Meltzer is, and go to the bar and tell them what we did, Scott.
Yeah, Scott, that'd be amazing, seriously.
Oh, yeah, because he's in the Portland area. Yeah, well, I don't know, whatever.
Find out how available it is. Maybe you can find out something, Scott.
I mean, Bob, yeah, I could I probably could somehow connect to him. And I was actually thinking, it's funny you mention that, because I was actually thinking today, is like, you know, I should just email the guy out of the blue. Like, I don't think I still have his email contact from when I interviewed him, because I've since, like, I lost my hard drive at one point or crashed or whatever, so I lost a few years' worth of email. But I'm sure through some of my contacts I could very easily hook up with him. And I was thinking of even just starting by sending him that second episode, say, hey, you should check this out. You know, this guy's going really in-depth into Aesthetics of Rock. I'd be curious to, and whatever, he might have, you might have no opinion on it whatsoever. You may want to listen to it. Who knows?
Yeah. That'd be interesting. Yeah, we definitely want him to hear it somehow.
Yeah, yeah. No, I will look into that. In fact, I can think of someone right now who might be able to get me his email address.
Okay, so let's. All right, so we should start.